Genesis chapter 29. We're going to be starting at verse 31 and then reading all the way through to chapter 30 and verse 24. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Reuben. For she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." And she conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again, she conceived. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I will die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me and I too can build a family through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, What a good fortune. So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother, Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with this precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son."
I wonder, do you know the meaning of your name? Most people do, because either our parents have told us why they chose our name, or because perhaps we've Googled to check what it means. People choose names for their children for all kinds of reasons. The Puritans were known for naming their children after Christian virtues that they hoped their sons and daughters would show. And so they gave them names like charity, prudence, or even tenacious. Now, names are chosen in the Bible to communicate all kinds of things. Adam means from the ground. And that reminds us of how God formed the very first man, Adam, from the dust of the ground. Now, our passage this evening reads like a list of names, with perhaps a few other details around that. But the names in our passage are really important, because the names of each of the sons born in the passage this evening give us an insight into what is going on in the hearts of two of the key characters in the Genesis story, Leah and Rachel. And God wants us to learn from what's happening in these two sisters' hearts as they live through a painful struggle played out in a family home where they are married to a deceitful man. Now, as we read our passage together this evening, we'll also be aware that it brings us right into what is a painful subject. And it's one that I would much rather speak about in person in the service together this evening, rather than over a live stream service tonight. Because, of course, the struggles and the sadness of childlessness is one of the hardest things to talk about for many couples and singles in our church family. So talking about these things and looking at a passage that addresses these things might bring up painful memories for us. I think it's important to be thankful for the fact that God is concerned about these very hard situations. It shows us that God knows about the pain that comes from this and what it's like to live in the sadness of a world broken by suffering under the effects of the fall. And as we begin this evening, I want to say that we are a church family. And although we can't meet together this evening as a whole church family, we do want to support each other and draw alongside each other. So if after tonight you'd like to speak with someone because of something that we've looked at in the passage or something in the reading or something else that comes to you, please do get in touch with me or James or any of the elders. Please feel free to contact Leo as well. Or you might have a mature Christian friend who you could speak with. But do reach out if you want to speak this evening. Well, as we come to this text, we remember that each part of the book of Genesis has a focus. A couple of months back, we were looking at the life of Abraham in our morning series, and we saw that Abraham's life is really focused on that subject of faith. And the life of Jacob and his family, the section that we're in now in Genesis, there is one theme that comes out again and again and again as we work through it. And it is God's grace to his people. Because in the midst of all the sadness and all the sin of this passage, God's grace keeps on shining through. So as we look at our passage together this evening, let's first of all see that God's grace is to the unloved. God's grace is to the unloved, verses 31 and 35 of the end of chapter 29. God has a special concern for those who are unloved, and that's reflected in the gift of the four sons to Leah. Now, there's a connection here with what we're going to look at this evening, with some of the things that James was sharing about this morning and the story there of the Samaritan woman and her interaction with Jesus. But in our passage tonight, we need to remember that Jacob deeply loves Rachel, but Leah has become his wife first. Leah is Rachel's sister, by a cruel trick played on them by their father Laban. And having married Leah, Jacob is allowed to marry Rachel 1 week later in return for another 7 years of service to Laban. He served Laban 7 years, which he thought he'd be able to marry Rachel. But at the end of 7 years, he is allowed to marry Leah in that sense. And then Laban says, if you serve me 7 more years, then you can marry Rachel. And after a week, he's allowed to marry her. But we need to remember the way in which Leah has become married to Jacob makes her position incredibly vulnerable. She's at risk of rejection from her husband and perhaps being sent away from the home. And the Hebrew of chapter 29 and verse 30, which is the last verse of the section that we looked at last Sunday evening, tells us at the very least that Jacob didn't like or love Leah. And it could even be saying in the Hebrew that he even despised her. And that lack of love is confirmed for us in verse 31, where we're told that Leah was not loved. But the key thing for us to notice about 31 in the context of how of Leah's position is the words that come just before that statement that Leah was not loved. Because at the start of verse 31, we read, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved. And that reminds us that God saw her insecurity and the many other negative effects that this marriage was having on her. And into that situation, he pours out his grace, enabling her to conceive. And the wording again and again in the passage is that children are a gift of the Lord. Now, let's not miss what God's dealings with Leah show us about the Lord our God. Our God shows grace to those who are unloved. He has a heart for those who are despised and rejected. Again and again in the Bible, he chooses to work through them and in them and for them. Leah didn't know that the love of Jacob like her sister Rachel, but we know that she knew the favor and grace of the living God. But as we look together at the verses at the end of chapter 29, and we look at the names that she chooses to give to her first four sons, it's clear that there is a struggle for her to see that grace and that love of God for her. And that's one of the many reasons why I'm so glad that Leah's story is in the Bible, because it reflects some of the struggles that go on in my heart and maybe in your heart too. Because even though she knows God's grace and love, she seeks to be fulfilled in the love of her spouse instead. That comes out for us in the name that she gives to her firstborn, Reuben, in verse 32, meaning see or look, and she is desperate that Jacob will look and take notice of her. Her next son is called Simeon, meaning heard, and she wants her husband to hear her and notice her. Next, she gives birth to Levi, meaning attached. And again, that's showing us that she is seeking to secure her husband's commitment and love. See, what's going on for Leah is that she is seeking to gain the good blessing of love, security and stability through the commitment and attachment of her husbands that she hopes she will secure by bearing sons. And in light of her vulnerable situation, we can understand why she might be trying to do all of this, because she is going to feel hugely insecure in this home. And the heart struggle for Leah is that it's not that she seeks these good blessings in themselves, but that she ultimately seeks them in the wrong places. It's right that she desires a committed and loving husband, and that blessing of security and love are good things to long for. But fundamentally, what Leah needs to see is that no spouse can give her the depth of security and commitment and love that she needs. Because people are sinners and they will let us down. And they were never meant to give us a total security and love that we all need, because only God can give that total and ultimate sense of security and love through the cross of Jesus and all that he has done for us and is towards us. I was in the supermarket this week, and I walked past the frozen food section. You've got the offers on the ends of the aisles, and they had some of that new low-fat, low-calorie ice cream on offer. And I thought, well, maybe we'll try that and see what it's like. And we got to Friday evening, and dessert came, and we spooned it into our bowls, and then we tasted it. And all the packaging said it was going to be the same or better than the normal ice cream. But it wasn't. It was okay, but it wasn't a substitute for Cornish vanilla ice cream. You know, we can all seek that total sense of security and love that we need outside of God. But when we do that, what we are doing is seeking it in a lesser substitute that doesn't fulfill it in a way that we all need. And God isn't asking us to find something that we haven't already experienced in some way in him. God has already shown his love and grace to Leah. And Leah's struggle, and perhaps so often our struggle, is to see what we already have in the Lord. And when it comes to her fourth son, Judah, that seems to be the direction of travel of her heart. Judah means I will praise the Lord. And it shows us that her heart is moving from that pursuit of ultimate security and commitment and love in her husband and towards beginning to find that in the Lord her God. And the wonderful thing is that when you begin to seek those good blessings in God, we find that God is sufficient to give us these things. Although human love can be weak and strong, God's love is constant because he is a God who has shown grace to those who are unloved. That's the first thing we need to see. The second thing we need to see is that God's grace flows in spite of our sin. Our second point, God's grace flows in spite of our sin. Here we're in chapter 30 and verses 1 through to 21. Both Leah and Rachel have what the other sister wants and want what the other sister has. Leah has the blessing of children but desires love and security from a committed husband. Rachel has love and commitment from her husband, Jacob, but she deeply desires to have the blessing of children. And Rachel longs for children because she believes they will take away her disgrace. Just like with Leah, Rachel's desire for children is a good thing. A part of God's ordinary plan for marriage is that men and women will have children together. And so to not experience that blessing brings great sadness and a kind of grief that is so hard to bear. But the desire for a good blessing becomes too big in Rachel's heart. And it leads to jealousy in Rachel towards her sister in verse 1. She expresses her heart when she says to Jacob in verse 1 of chapter 30, the end of the verse, "Give me children or I die." Now, what's very sad to see here is Jacob's lack of compassion and prayer for his wife. He could have followed the example of his father, who prayed to the Lord for his wife when she couldn't have children. But instead, he responds to her struggle with anger and doesn't draw alongside her in the grief. Rachel becomes desperate. And when you get desperate, you'll try anything. And so she goes back to an approach that she knows is wrong. She offers her servants, Bilhah, to Jacob as a wife so that she can have children and a family through her servants. And the struggle continues between the sisters as Rachel calls the first two sons born to Bilhah, Dan, meaning God has judged or vindicated me, and Naphtali, meaning I have won in this battle, of course, with my sister. Leah follows the example of Rachel and gives her servant Zilpah in marriage to Jacob, and he bears two sons, Gad, meaning fortunate, Asher, meaning blessed. Now, we need to notice here that there is no comment as to whether God agrees with either Rachel or Leah's interpretation of the situations and how they name their children. In fact, God's silence tells us a lot about how God sees what is happening. He says nothing positive because this is not a good thing that's going on. But in light of all this, what should really strike us in this text is that God keeps on blessing this family. God's grace really shines out for us here. His promise to bring a great nation from the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, repeated to all those three, sees the greatest growth and expansion through the 11 sons of Jacob in this passage. And of any of those three men, you might say that Jacob is a man with the greatest struggles. And doesn't that amplify God's grace to us, that he works through Jacob, even building up his offspring, perhaps in the greatest sense, you might say, in giving him the most sons, and yet he is the one with the greatest struggles. And all of that amplifies God's grace. You know, when our musicians build up the music tracks for us, each track needs to be mixed together and the team work for hours to get the balance between each of the tracks just right. But you might say this evening, the music in our passage isn't balanced because there is one track, there is one melodic line that is louder than any other. And it's the line that is singing and declaring to us about the grace of God. But then we come to a new problem in verse 14. The sisters begin to trust in wrong means of gaining good things. In verse 14, Reuben finds some mandrakes in the field and gives them to his mum, Leah. Now, eating the mandrake plant was thought, a mandrake plant was thought to help couples have children. And Leah wants to use the mandrakes for herself, but Rachel wants them as well. And so she offers Leah a night with Jacob in return for the plants, and Leah agrees. Once again, it is so sad to see Jacob not leading as a husband here. He should have stopped this kind of trading, but he doesn't. And God shows us again that he is the one who gives children because the mandrakes don't help Rachel. It is Leah, the one who has given away the mandrakes, who has three further children. And she names them Issachar, meaning wages, demonstrating that she wrongly thinks she's been rewarded by God for giving her servant as a wife to her husband. Zebulun, meaning honor, because that's what she's seeking from her husband. And then, of course, she's blessed with her daughter, Dinah. And the statement from Leah there in verse 20 is a conflicted mix. She says, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. She recognizes God's provision, but she's also struggling with a desire to gain honor from her husband. But isn't that so often what we see in our own hearts? It's not that we abandon the Lord, but that other things come alongside him and then he gets pushed out of our affections and those other things become too big. I have a number of small plant pots outside my office window as I look out into the garden. And we planted a few plants in each of the pots and they were growing so well in the good weather and in the dedicated watering that a few weeks ago we needed to remove some of the plants from the pots because there were too many in one pot and they were crowding each other out. And the same thing can happen in our own hearts because for each of us, there will be things that are in danger of coming alongside the Lord and then taking the place of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives. I wonder, what are those things for you? A spouse? A career? Financial security? The achievements of your children? Part of guarding our hearts and seeking to grow with the Spirit's help in the grace and knowledge of God is to be aware of those dangers so we can be on our watch for when they become too big. Now, even though Leah seems to take a step backwards from where she was at the end of chapter 29 when she named Judah, God keeps on working through Leah and for her. Her fear of rejection by Jacob is never realized. The Lord keeps on blessing her with children. He keeps on showing his grace. And the wonderful thing about grace is that grace is undeserved favor. You might even describe grace as demerited, de-deserved in that sense, favor. We receive God's kindness when we really only deserve his judgments. But many times we forget that. We think that having gone back to an old sin or perhaps getting caught up in a new one after victory in another area means that God's grace will run out for us. We think, well, I'm sure God is going to give up on me now because I've failed again. And so even if I turn in repentance and seek his help, he won't hear me. But friends, when we think that way, that is a gospel of works and not a gospel of grace. And actually, it's not a gospel at all, because the gospel is good news. And that's not good news. But the great news, the wonderful news of God's word, is that in Christ, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. By faith in him, we don't receive God's wrath. We know his love. And so as we come to our God in repentance, calling out to him, looking to Jesus and all that he has done, we find that his grace never runs out. Now, I am sure that for many of us, we know that truth inside out. But deep down, we don't believe it when we forget God's grace. And that is why God is showing us the sad and mixed up lives of Leah and Rachel and Jacob. Because if God can show them grace, then he can show me grace too. God's grace flows to us in spite of our sin. And then thirdly, God's grace takes away our shame. Here we look at verses 22 to 24 of chapter 30. The one person who we might think has been forgotten by the Lord at this point, of course, is Rachel. But verse 22 reminds us that isn't the case. We read verse 22, then God remembered Rachel. Whenever God remembers someone in Scripture, that's always a turning point in the story. It happens in the story of Noah and his family. When they're there in the floodwaters in the boat, God remembers him. And what neither Jacob nor the mandrakes could do for her, God does. And he enables her to conceive, and she bears a son who is, of course, called Joseph. And in naming him Joseph, she recognizes that God has done all this. The Lord takes away that shame that she felt in that social sense through the provision of a son. And in a different way, but a related way, doesn't that remind us of all that our God has done for us in the provision of his son, Jesus Christ? You know, we spent a lot of time this evening thinking about the meaning of different names in this passage. Well, when Jesus' birth is announced, Mary and Joseph are told exactly what to name him, because his name communicates something important about him. He is given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And our sin can be a source of disgrace for us. We want to hide it because we wish it wasn't a part of us. But just as the Lord took away that disgrace from Rachel, that societal disgrace in that sense, so he takes away our sin and the wrong that we have done through the Lord Jesus. And he does that. And when he does that, he makes himself to be more loving than the most committed spouse, and so fulfills all the longings of Leah in that sense. And by grace and through faith, he makes us sons and daughters of the living God, that wonderful truth that we saw again and again in the book of Galatians, giving us acceptance and approval, and in that sense fulfills the longings of Rachel. So as we close this evening, friends, can I ask you, do you know God according to his grace? Have you come to experience acceptance as a son or daughter of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then seek all of that in Jesus. Turn to him tonight. No cleansing at the cross, no forgiveness, know his love, know his acceptance. And friends, if you have, if you know Christ this evening, if God is your God through Jesus, then let us seek to see, with the Holy Spirit's help, all that is ours in Christ, resting only in him and what he has come to do for us. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, how we thank you for the amazing truth of your grace in spite of our sin. Thank you that you pour out your grace on those who are unloved. Thank you that you are a God who never changes, because your grace to us rests in the provision of your Son. Help us, we pray, to see all that we have in Jesus and draw near, we ask, in all the struggle and the sadness of the different things in our lives that we know are blessings that we seek from you, but we look to you for those things. Father God, may you always and ever be first in our hearts, and may we serve you, may we love you, may we treasure all that we have in Jesus, and may we live lives that declare all that Christ means to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.